Hey, well, this week we will elect the person who is going to be leading this country for the next 4 years, right? Right? The answer is wrong. We won't. This week we'll have lost ballots and recounts and accusations of fraud, and everyone will be mad at each other because that's what happens in this country, right? I mean, that's what really happens in this country. Everyone goes crazy. But yeah, at this point in time, I just want it to be over. You know, I almost don't care who wins. I just want it to be done with. I always love and hate those TV ads. If you watch them, they'll always show the opponent in black and white, you know, the first part, black and white, real scratchy, and they're angry and yelling and screaming at something. And then all of a sudden, the music gets really nice and soft, and it goes into color. And the candidate you're supposed to vote for is there shaking hands with people with rolled up sleeves or whatever else like that. But I'll be glad when those commercials are over. I'll be glad when there's no more mailings or no more texts, no more predictions and margins of error, and no more social media postings. I'll be glad. I mean, I'll just be really glad when that stuff's over and I can get on with life again. But I really want to settle us all down, and I thought, because how do we as people who want to follow God, how are we supposed to vote? You know, how are we supposed to vote for this thing? And how are we supposed to look at issues? And how are we supposed to view things? And so we're asking the question because, again, I want us to get through this thing unscathed and unscarred. And so we're kind of asking the question, what? How would Jesus vote? You know, how would Jesus vote? A few years ago, there was a thing on what would Jesus do. And so we would like to kind of talk about how would Jesus vote here. I mean, is Jesus blue? Is Jesus red? I mean, for president, would it be Trump or would it be Harris? I mean, who would it be? I mean, if Jesus had a yard in this age, what yard sign would he have out front? For president or for the propositions or for city council or even school board? How would Jesus do this? Because I want to do what Jesus would do in regards to this whole deal. Now, Jesus said this, and I want us to kind of maybe begin to take a look a different perspective on this. Jesus said, my kingdom, the kingdom that I really care about, the one that's the most important, is not what? It's not of this world. My kingdom's not of this world at all. And if you're a follower of Jesus, and if his kingdom is not of this world, then I have to say that my kingdom is no longer of this world. Meaning all of a sudden the things around me, the election and the nations and the countries and all that, all of a sudden take kind of second place in my, I don't know, in my interests, in my concern, and in my worries. In a sense, we're saying we don't really belong here. And I believe this should shape our politics. It should shape the way we think about things, like economy and attitudes towards leaders and even voting. If you were driving through Bakersfield, you should probably just keep going, but if you're driving through Bakersfield, you would see signs for the mayor or for city council or for this school board person or this, and you probably would not get very worked up over them, would you? You probably wouldn't care very much. Why not? It's because Bakersfield is not your home. Praise God. Okay, it's not your home, right? You just keep on moving and you're going right through. My attitude towards who wins the election, I guess in some way, shape, or form, maybe I have a tiny little bit of interest, but not very much, because I don't belong there. It's not my home. It's not my kingdom. And in the same way, we want to take that attitude and bring it into here. Whoever gets elected here, it's not that much of a concern as sometimes we make it. Why? Because it's not my home. This isn't my kingdom. Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world, and I want to be in that kingdom. However, we're supposed to vote. Okay, we should vote. And it would sure help if heaven would kind of float down some sample ballots that were already marked for us, you know, or if somehow that there would be some magical way that your vote, your ballot at home was already marked for you by Jesus, and everything on here's how to vote for president or proposition or this measure or who will be best for school board. But you won't get one. It's just not going to happen. So, okay, Jesus, Harris, or Trump, you know, who should we vote for on this. And immediately you're saying in your head, okay, well, Harris, for the simple reason, is she's not Trump, okay? For the simple reason, or you're saying Trump for the very reason that he's not what? He's not Harris, okay? And this is sometimes almost as crazy that we're voting against somebody more than another. And some would say neither. There are alternatives that Jesus would vote for. Now, I'm gonna make a statement on this one, and again, bring it into context. I'm not so sure Jesus would really care all that much about who gets elected. I'm just not sure he would care all that much. Now, I'm sure he'd care, and I think he'd care, however, in a whole different way than I'd think. I think he'd care not what it does to America and not what it means to the economy or Social Security or taxes. I think what he'd be really caring about is what it's doing in our hearts and in the lives of people who are part of his kingdom. That's what I think he'd care about. I think he's caring about what it does in me and you. And he'd care about the joy in your life that becomes dependent upon who gets elected and how you are able to move forward with the joy and the peace that he wants to give us. Because to me, the real question is not how would Jesus vote. The real question is going to be, how is my heart? How are my attitudes and my cares and concerns and worries and trust in God going to work out no matter who's president? I mean, how can I have peace and joy in this? Because I believe that after Tuesday, you should have the same peace and the same joy that you have today. Exactly the same. And we want to work to that together, okay? And it's not about Trump or Harris, and it's really about my heart towards Trump or Harris and what goes on in my head when I see a campaign picture or a campaign ad. What words come into my head? What words come into my heart? Where does that go? And my attitude, and my blood pressure, and my anger. Because Jesus is not going to tell us how to vote. He does tell us how to live life in the other kingdom, this kingdom, while still on earth. And how do I respond to those in charge? And so what I would want is, I mean, I want to have, again, the same peace and the same joy on Wednesday morning or late Tuesday night that I have today. And I want that for you as well. And I think God does as well. So how do I respond to the president or anyone in charge with joy and peace? How do I do that? How am I supposed to do that? And the Bible does give us some phrases or some ways to do that. And here we go. Number one, first thing is to have the best joy and peace is you get to love them. Okay? You will love them. Jesus said, I don't care who's in charge, you love them. If you want joy and peace in this world, it doesn't matter which party is in charge, you will love them. And you're going to say, I knew you were going to go say that. But it's so interesting in this world that people just can't, they just, not only can they not agree, but they can't disagree civilly, you know? If you put a yard sign of a particular person or party in front of your yard, you're afraid it's going to get torn up or torn down or you're going to get labeled something. You know, we just simply cannot even disagree in a nice way. And it's like if you don't support my position, almost like you're the enemy. You know, there's this whole Taylor Swift, Brittany Mahomes thing that's going on, you know? It's like they're supposed to be really mad at each other because they both are going to vote for different candidates. And you just wonder, what kind of a world have we got into now? So to many, Trump or the Republicans are the what? The enemy. Or Harris, you know, and Democrats are the enemy. And once they become the enemy, this is where Jesus can really speak to us. Because once you start seeing him as the enemy, here you go. And here's what we do for the peace and joy. Love your enemies. Absolutely. Love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you. And you want to say, leave it to Jesus to take all the fun out of making fun of Trump's hair, you know, or Harris word salads. I mean, leave it to Jesus to ruin all that for me. But Jesus tells us two things to do. We're supposed to do two things. We're supposed to love and we're supposed to pray, you know. And you want to say, well, can I pray that they just go away, you know? But that's not what he means here. I'm sure it means that you pray peace and blessing and wisdom upon them with an attitude of what? Love. With an attitude of love. And you say, well, okay, I'll love him. I get that. I'll love him. But we always say this, I'll love him, but that doesn't mean I have to what?
Like him.
I don't have to like him. We say that, you know? And I think whenever we say that, because I know myself pretty well, whenever I say that, we're trying to get out of all of what it means to love him when we say that. You know that? When I say I'll love him, but I don't have to like him, we try and get out of then everything it means to really, truly love them. Because once Jesus used that word love, we now need to go over the part of the Bible that defines love for us. And this is what it says. Love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's what it means to love. And there's a whole lot of like involved in this. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. When you think about it, that's where the peace lies, doesn't it? If you can have that attitude towards your opponent or towards the person you don't agree with, that's where the peace lies. That's where it all comes from here. And if you want joy, then have that. You know anger only breeds what? More anger. The more you dislike a person, the more you're going to dislike a person. The solution to anger is not more anger. The solution to it is to love and like. I hate it that I do it, and I assume you may do it too. We jump so quickly, and sometimes with delight, at the slightest hint of impropriety of the person that we don't agree with politically. The slightest little hint of impropriety, we what? We have joy over. If they screw up, or if they mess up, or they have a hot mic and say something dumb, we are really almost excited about that, as if I can't wait to now broadcast that out to show how incompetent they are. I'm just not convinced that's a loving thing. We love that stuff because it makes our opponent look worse. And it just makes us look like we're more in the right. And we delight in the evil instead of grieving that it may hurt them as people. Or that if they really believe that, then they're maybe out of the light of God. And when I do that, there's no peace in me. There's just none. There's not. It just goes away. Again, I don't think God will care so much about who I voted for, but for the honest and real love I have for the person in charge. Okay, it's going to get worse, all right, than this. If I want better peace and joy in this, I have to submit to them, okay? I submit to them. We don't like that word submit anyway, but it means to be under somebody else and to place yourself underneath them. And it means I need to humble myself and then obey and do what that person in charge says. And it seems demeaning, and I don't like them anyway, you know, and I don't like their policies and all this kind of stuff. Okay, if I have to do it, I'm going to do it with a what? I'm going to do it with an attitude, you know, and it doesn't mean you do it that way. God tells us everyone must submit to governing authorities. It's like, really? Yeah, really? But God, you don't know the person in charge. And the answer is, of course he does. Apostle Paul said this, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by who? By God. God placed them there. And the joy and the peace in this whole thing is going to come from, God's got this. I mean, God's got this, really. He really does have this. He knows what he's doing. And you want to say, really? You can't mean a person like our president or our governor. And he does. He has it down. And what kills me is the person that wrote that, it was written to the church in Rome, and the guy in charge of Rome at that time was a guy named Nero. Do you remember his name? You know, Nero. And he was a nutty egomaniac and cared only for himself. And because of his weird policies, there was a huge fire that burned 70% of Rome, leaving most of Rome homeless, okay? And he had to blame someone, so he blamed who? He blamed the Christians, because they were an easy target audience for him. And he arrested them and tortured them and had them killed for his amusement. And Paul, who wrote this, would be killed by this guy, by the way. And he wrote this: all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Okay, last one. For my joy and peace, I got to honor them. I will honor them. In fact, I don't got to. I get to. I get to honor them. And the word means crown them, okay? And the Bible says this: show proper honor to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Who is the emperor? Nero. Same guy. We're supposed to do that and look back at your thoughts and look back at my thoughts and attitudes and tweet posts or Facebook posts or X or whatever. Try this on, okay? Write on your post: my heart's been wrong towards Vice President Harris or former President Trump or Governor Newsom or House Speaker Johnson. Write this sometime on however you feel. I'm going to, from here on out, I'm going to love them, I'm going to submit to them, I'm going to honor them, because my true king has asked me to.
Wow. Yeah.
And my attitude towards them really needs to reveal my attitude, and it will reveal my attitude towards God. And if my political filters out God's commands to me, then it doesn't matter who wins. I will what? I will lose. It doesn't matter who wins or whose policies prevail. I failed. Okay, so how do you know you've got this? Okay, how do you know you've got this in your head, in your heart? How do we know I've got it? I've got this one, and here we go. I'm as relaxed on Tuesday evening as I am right now. Okay? I'm as relaxed on Tuesday evening as I am right now. I was like, who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who's going to win? We hang on to the news. If you hang on to the news, it's just going to inflame you. In fact, my suggestion to you for Tuesday night is you don't watch any news feed whatsoever, because who's going to win is who's going to win. Vote, turn it off. Instead, on Tuesday night, read the Bible and go for a walk with your family. Enjoy the creation that God has made that night. And don't look at your phone, and don't look at the TV, and don't look at your computer. Or get Netflix and watch The Chosen, with joy. Watch that instead, okay? Or talk with your family about what God's doing in this world, Talk with them about that. You know you've got it if you're going to be relaxed on Tuesday night, because you should be, because Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but I give you what? I give you peace. Take the peace. And also, you'll know you've got it when you're able to praise God for Tuesday, no matter what. Things will be different, okay? So, do you think God doesn't have this in control? Jesus said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid, not at all. The Bible doesn't tell us how to vote. You have wisdom, and you have principles, and you have values, and those fit into how you view life. It doesn't tell how to vote, but it does tell us how our hearts should be towards those who are in charge. It tells us. For our peace and our joy. And ultimately, God will not be rewarding you for being a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian or whatever you are. He'll reward you for your heart. And that's where the joy and the peace come from. He'll reward you for your heart and your obedience and your submission and your love toward the person in charge, who doesn't see life the way you do. And if you're not there, then the change really has to be within. Honestly, you change kingdoms and life gets better. If your kingdom is this world, boy, I'd be scared to death, Good luck with that one, because it's not going to work. We know how, as we sang, we know how the story ends, And the story doesn't always end that good. In fact, no civilization's story has ever, ever ended well. C.S. Lewis, I was reading this last night, He said, if individuals live only 70 to 80 years, then every state, country, civilization is more important than the individual. Okay? If individuals live forever, then a nation is only a drop in a bucket. We live forever. The United States is not going to exist forever. It won't. Should Jesus wait another 1,000 years to come here, this world's going to look way different than it does even right now. You live forever. Nations will not last. You will. You will. You will last. And that's why God speaks to your heart. And that's why God said, I'm going to come down and I'm going to start a whole new kingdom, different one than you've ever imagined. And it's not one of this world. It's a heavenly kingdom that resides in your heart and your life. And this one with me.